Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. Wherever you are in Southern California or listening around the world, kpcc.org or the KPCC smartphone app. Later this hour, another shift on tariffs for Chinese imports. Some electronics, clothing, and several other categories won't see tariff increases for a few months. That's to allow more time for U.S.-China trade negotiations. Stocks have responded by going higher, up more than 400 points thus far this morning. We'll take a look at where those trade negotiations are at. First, a second night of protests at Hong Kong Airport, as you just heard on NPR News. Much of the airport was closed for a second night, but tonight the protests turned violent. There were reports of some members of the protest groups turning on each other at various points and of riot police going in and attempting to disperse the crowd. As you also just heard, things are somewhat quieter at the airport now after the protesters were dispersed. But perhaps you saw the photos of thousands and thousands of protesters who are demanding democracy for Hong Kong, who originally began the protests around the issue of extradition of people from Hong Kong to China. Joining us is Zhaoying Feng, Washington reporter for BBC Chinese. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What's the latest on the crowd dispersal? Do we know how many people might have been hurt as the clashes took place at the airport tonight?
Well, from the latest footage, we can see thousands of protesters. They were staging sit-ins and trying to block the airport earlier tonight. And just a few minutes ago, the riot police started to step in and try to clear the crowd. It was chaotic. We could see some protesters and also some police were injured. And this is right after a very violent weekend in Hong Kong, where both sides, both the police and the protesters, have adopted new tactics, more violent tactics, and escalated the tension. The Hong Kong police fire non-lethal bullets and tear gas into a metro station. And for the protesters, some of them have adopted very radical tactics. They make their own petrol bombs and throw them into police stations, which gave the Chinese media some proof to call the protesters mobs with signs of terrorism.
We saw some video this morning, our time, of what looked like one of the protesters being attacked by others, knocked to the ground, beaten. It appeared the individual might have been unconscious. Have we been able to determine what's going on? There had been some reports that some people had been identified as suspected spies among the protesters, and that those individuals, whether that's true or not, had been turned on. Do you have anything to report on that?
Right. In the past 2 days, the Hong Kong police and also the leader of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, have held a press conference to try to explain those issues to the people of Hong Kong. And the police admitted that they have undercover police blend into the protesters to try to identify the most radical ones and make arrests. But on some of the injuries, like a young lady who had her right eye injured, that was still under investigation, and the police refused to say whether that's the responsibility of the police or the protesters. While in Chinese media, they have point fingers at the protester. They said the young lady was injured by another protesters, and that is not a valid point at the moment. It's not confirmed at the moment.
We're talking with BBC Chinese Washington reporter Zhaoying Feng. Let's hear the chief executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, who spoke with reporters yesterday after the first day of the Hong Kong airport takeover.
I have said after the violence has been stopped and the chaotic situation that now we are seeing could subside, I wouldn't say it will be eradicated totally. I, as the chief executive, will be responsible to rebuild Hong Kong's economy, to engage as widely as possible, to listen as attentively as possible, to my people's grievances and try to help Hong Kong to move on. That is my very serious political commitment and responsibility to the people of Hong Kong at this point in time.
The reporters at that news conference, very emotional themselves, shouting at Chief Executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam. And as reporter Yaojing Feng just said, the wave of sit-ins that followed the initial anti-extradition protests were prompted, appears, by the serious eye injury to the young woman, the protesters claiming that it was a police projectile that destroyed her eye, and the government not conceding that point. So that's where we stand in this impasse as the demands of the protesters has morphed from the extradition process into additional demands. And Yaojing, can you give us what some of those demands are of the protesters?
Right. The protesters now have five top demands. They request, they demand a complete withdrawal of the extradition bill and also a withdrawal of the description of riot, which was announced earlier in the protest. And they also required Carrie Lam to resign, which she refused to comment on in her press conference earlier today. The protesters also would want to have an independent inquiry into the alleged police brutality, which Carrie Lam also refused to comment on yesterday. She defended her police force and said they haven't overused the force yet. And the protesters have also requested universal suffrage, which was the demand 5 years ago in the umbrella movement in Hong Kong. However, that's off the table for the time being.
Are there any talks whatsoever between protesters and the government, or the fact there doesn't seem to be a formal leadership from among the protesters, has that made that impossible?
Indeed. So this has been a very special protest because it's leaderless. So sometimes we would not be able to see a very clear goal of the protest, and it seemed to be different groups, different radical groups of the protesters demanding for different things. Some are more expensive goals. And at this moment, it's really hard for me to imagine there will be a peaceful ending of this because either side has shown little signs to back down at this moment. They can't afford to back down. And it's now a very sensitive time for China as well, because after 48 days, it will be the 70th anniversary of China. And Beijing would not want to see Hong Kong in the current situation for this big celebration.
This is one of the busiest airports in the world, not just with people flying in and out of Hong Kong, but it's a busy airport for connections as well. And with it closed or partially closed over the last couple of nights, I assume that's putting an economic hit to Hong Kong as well as to the airport. What's your sense, the biggest economic concern right now with the closure, as well as the effects to Hong Kong businesses from the street protests?
Yes, as you mentioned, hundreds of flights were canceled in the past few days from Hong Kong, and this was the busiest airports in the world. And other than the airports, the protesters also attempted to go on strike to polarize the metro system in the city, and that certainly damaged the city's economy as well as its international image as and global finance center. That would take time for Hong Kong to restore that that reputation. And Hong Kong is also key for China's economy. Even though mainland China is developing very rapidly, still most of the foreign investments going to China would go through Hong Kong first, as it has a legal system, a judiciary system that is closer to the West. However, with this situation in Hong Kong, it's hard to imagine business can be functioning as usual.
Love to hear from AirTalk listeners. If you are from Hong Kong, maybe you reside part of the year there and part of the year in Southern California, I'd be interested in hearing what your experiences are, your thoughts about what's taking place in Hong Kong. If you're someone who's close to family members or friends in Hong Kong and you've been in contact with them over these past several weeks since the initial protests began, I'd like to hear what you're hearing from those that live there that you're close to, if you're getting regular updates. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You've been a longtime observer, Yao Ying, of Hong Kong and of China. Does this have the potential to do long-term economic damage to Hong Kong?
Just like I mentioned, it would not be easy for Hong Kong to restore its international reputation as a significant finance center. It will also lead to further distrust between Hong Kong and China. Well, as you know, in China, the media is heavily censored. So audience in the mainland can only read certain information with a very special perspective. They are seeing all those chaos and violence created by the protester, but they couldn't see the other side of the story. And it will be hard for the whole country to heal. It will be hard for Hong Kong to heal from this.
We know the importance of Hong Kong to China when it first took over Hong Kong. But is it still the case that it is extremely important economically, given the rise of mainland China and cities like, you know, Shanghai, and seeing what's happened economically in Beijing and elsewhere? Is Hong Kong still so important?
Well, indeed, if you look at the GDP percentage, Hong Kong's GDP does not account for a lot of China's GDP these days. Certainly, it has dropped over the years given the rise of the mainland Chinese economy. But as I mentioned, Hong Kong is still the gateway between China and the rest of the world. It's where Chinese money meets with global money. It's where deals are done. I would say Hong Kong is still very significant for China, and it's a high time to remind both sides that the essence of one country, two system is to let Hong Kong to be Hong Kong, a place that is different from the rest of China, yet still a part of China.
Do you know if there are plans for another occupation of the airport or elsewhere for tomorrow? I know it's tough without there being formal leaders to get a forecast, but have you heard anything more about what we might see tomorrow?
Right. So far, I haven't heard any plans for future protests, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see protesters gather again in the airport tomorrow. They communicate online through WhatsApp, Telegram. Sometimes it's not public, but they seem to have managed to organize a huge crowd in a very orderly way in public space. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same scene tomorrow as what we're seeing right now in the airport.
Do you think there's potential for a Tiananmen Square kind of confrontation? I mean, we think of, you know, the iconic image of the tank and the lone protesters standing in front of it. Could we see something that would be as violent a conclusion to this impasse?
I really hope not. I think China has learned lessons from Tiananmen, and also the protesters have smartly chosen the airport as a place to assemble, which is indoor and makes it very difficult for police to use an excessive a massive way of violence to fire tear gas into airport. And on that being said, legally speaking, China does have the right to intervene in cases like turmoil, which can endanger national unity and national security. And this is in the basic law. Beijing can declare a state of emergency in Hong Kong, and basically PLA and armed police from the mainland can march into Hong Kong. And in that case, if that's unthinkable, were to happen, it will be very sad for Hong Kong and China. It will be very bad for China as well, because that's basically telling the whole world 22 years after the handover, Beijing cannot win over the hearts and minds of Hong Kong people yet.
Bill in the San Gabriel Valley writes on our Air Talk page, one problem China has is they're now social media, so the protesters can organize in a decentralized way, something they couldn't do at Tiananmen. Also, since they're in Hong Kong rather than China, it'd be harder to control the info leaving the area. So they're in a tough spot, something that gives the protesters an advantage. How big an advantage, though? That's Bill in San Gabriel Valley asking the question. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Zhao Ying Feng, Washington reporter for BBC Chinese. Good to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Holly in Arcadia says, I have family members in Hong Kong, and the general consensus among them is concern for their safety, even their lives, rather than feeling patriotic or zealous like the protesters. It's fear. That's Holly in Arcadia. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about President Trump backtracking on the earlier implementation of increased tariffs on specific Chinese imports. We'll talk about what that means for the ongoing state of negotiations over trade. You're listening to Air Talk.